Curtis Lewa.
Two young people decided to form their own organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets. When you see them, you get a nice, secure feeling in your heart.
I admire Curtis Lewa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Lewa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Lewa from WAPC Radio.
Curtis Lewa, legendary New York.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Lewa. What happened today? Why? And what's next? Live, local, on it, 77 WABC.
If it keeps on raining, that is going to break. If it keeps on raining, that is going to break. When the levee breaks, have no place to stay.
8 minutes after the hour of five, on this, the Drive at 5, and no more pertinent music than Led Zeppelin. As the floods are rising, more rain is falling in the greater Houston area. Texas officials have just issued a warning, get out now, because the levees and the reservoirs are breached. There is a full-scale emergency. Proportions, the likes we haven't seen since Katrina. And the President of the United States said he would visit Texas on Tuesday. He did. He couldn't get anywhere near Houston because of the flooding conditions. He landed in Corpus Christi and had this to say.
We want to do it better than ever before. We want to be looked at in 5 years and 10 years from now. This is the way to do it. This was of epic proportion. Nobody's ever seen anything like this.
No doubt about that. You'd have to be in full agreement with the president, whether you're a naysayer or a supporter. We have never seen anything like this. And the governor, who has been so focused, so on point during this entire emergency, Greg Abbott, had this to say about cooperation from all the various agencies.
At every step of the way, as the hurricane came across the shore, as the flooding began in Houston, Texas, the president and his cabinet remain in constant contact with me and my staff. And they all had one thing to say. Texas, what do you need? How can we help? You can count on us.
But if the levees and the reservoirs fail, if all of a sudden the waters just crest and they are breached, I don't care what our federal force is there with boots on the ground, the state force, the local officials, and the many volunteers. Katrina. This would be Katrina 2 in a greater way because of the size of the city of Houston. You could be driving all day in the city of Houston. It's like being in Los Angeles. It's like being in Jacksonville. It goes on forever. And I've had a presence there since the early 80s when I went down to Houston to organize the Guardian Angels. And a gentleman who joined then and has since become the leader of our Guardian Angel patrol in Houston is Mike Porterfield. He joins us now. Mike, how you doing? Are you underwater yet?
I'm not underwater. Those particular levees are a couple of miles to my west, but I'm not underwater yet.
Describe for us, though, the dangers of the reservoirs and the levees if they're breached. What would that do to an already flooded situation that you're in?
Well, the ground's already saturated from all the rain, and water is just going to roll straight over the top of it and come right on into the neighborhoods on the west side of town.
And describe the neighborhoods that are most in peril, because we saw during Katrina in New Orleans the neighborhoods that were beneath the levees, the Fifth Ward, the poor and impoverished areas, were the first to get wiped out.
Well, over here on the west side is a newer part of town, so you're looking at those suburban neighborhoods. It's an open area. It's not closed in. The drainage is pretty good, but it can be overcome by heavy rain. And also, obviously, by a lot of water coming out of the attics and the dam over there. Attics Dam, I forget the name of the other one.
Now, what exactly are the authorities doing? What have you seen them do on the ground?
With respect to the dam?
Yeah, the dam, the levees, the floods, getting people out of their homes, the emergency first responders.
Well, the emergency personnel will see that the water is rising in a given area and will actually go door to door and saying you have to evacuate now, and drag people, tell them to grab important things and start moving down the street. the water will come in and the boats show up and they move them to local shelters like schools and churches.
Now, why didn't your mayor call for a full-scale evacuation of Houston? Why do you think he hesitated to trigger that off?
Well, honestly, you can't get 6.5 million people out of here on the roads that are nearby. It just can't happen. Furthermore, the escape routes are to the north and to the west, and they were inundated before everything else was. So there's no open roads on the way out of town. Now, if it had been triggered, say, Wednesday, perhaps Thursday, then we probably could have gotten quite a few people out, but there's no way to move all these people in this huge spread-out town all the way across town and out of the city on a half a dozen freeways.
Now, I know post-Katrina, Houston was very generous. You'd opened up the Astrodome to people fleeing New Orleans and other parts of Louisiana, and many of them resettled in the southwest of Houston, which became a really problem for the city. Those are people now who are experiencing a second major hurricane and flood, correct?
That is correct, out there by Sharpstown.
And exactly what did that do to Houston back then? What do you remember in terms of the flood of refugees that were coming in from New Orleans?
I remember me and another guardian angel took some supplies to the Astrodome, and I remember walking in there and looking down at the old sports arena that I'd been in so many times when I was a kid, and the first thing I thought was concentration camp. It was the buildings falling apart out on the edges, and they packed them all into the center where it was still safe, and just bringing supplies in and out, and they had food, they had enough power, they had cots, but there was absolutely nothing to do and no place for them to go.
Now, I would think Mike Porterfield, who's our chapter leader of the Guardian Angels in Houston, that the big fear has to be looting, because down in Houston, everywhere I've ever gone, good, bad, or indifferent, everybody is strapped with a gun.
Well, actually, the big problem is there's so much flooding, the looters can't even get to the places they need to loot. But there are local looters, and most of the time it's thrill seekers. I don't see any organized looting in the news, but we've already lost one of our television stations. I'd say the big problem really is more and more flooding.
Now I noticed that
looting going on.
Now I noticed the big mega church there, run by Joel Osteen. They refused to open up their doors to deal with any of the people who were being removed from their homes because the floods were cresting. I know, though, the Guardian Angels have been working with churches and shelters to provide that housing that Osteen and others have decided was not within their wherewithal, correct?
That's correct.
And where exactly are these centers in proximity to the flooding?
They're near the flooding, actually. Any place that's up out of the floodwaters, a church, a school, anything like that, is being utilized. The main problem is it was not planned ahead of time. The Houston Guardian Angel group that went into a church up in Tomball, they had maybe 30 cots, no food, no towels and blankets, nothing like that. The Red Cross was supposed to come in and take over, but they could not get in through the flooding. But the local businesses in Tomball stepped up. One of the first things that happened is an old lady drove in there with a load of supplies and cooked them all a spaghetti dinner.
Now, final question, Mike Porterfield, who's the leader of our Guardian Angels in Houston, has been with the group since 1982. Downtown Houston is a vibrant business district with skyscrapers that almost rival what we have in New York City. Is the downtown Houston area totally underwater? Is it sort of out of commission?
Up in the north end where the Buffalo Bayou is, the flooding is up out of the banks. White Oak Bayou's up there. So the north end of downtown is flooded. The south end where Braves Bayou is flooded. But in between, even though you cannot drive up in there, it's up out of the water. And these are office buildings that have lasted through hurricanes and flooding situations before. So downtown is not underwater.
Do appreciate that. That's Mike Porterfield. He's the leader of the Houston Guardian Angels, as we join so many other volunteer efforts to try to stem the flow of the many refugees, because that's what they become, Houstonians, who have nowhere to go. And the warnings that have just come out in the last hour are dire, as Texas officials have warned residents, get out now, because the floods are rising, more rain is falling, the levees and reservoirs are breached.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
Those who practice like you.
Deep into the headlines. Deep into the streets.
This is good.
Deep into your eyeballs.
How disgusting.
Studio View is live right now. WABCRadio.com.
You would think that this were our sister station, Nash, playing country western. It's not. Yeah, it is 770 AM WABC. But it's the song, it's almost an anthem, sung by Hank Williams Jr. for a lot of folks who were born in the South and those who are north of the Mason-Dixon line who like country. And that's what brings us to the story of the moment, involving an assemblyman, Parker Space, Republican from New Jersey, because apparently he had gone to a concert. And in fact, at the concert that he was at, both he and his wife were awaiting the Hank Williams Jr. concert on Saturday when they were photographed in front of a Confederate flag with Williams' face superimposed over the middle, posted it on his Facebook, caught a lot of grief. Said, I am not going to surrender or fold like a cheap camera. No, I'm not backing down. I'm not removing it. And he joins us today here on The Drive at 5. Thanks for joining us, Assemblyman.
Curtis, how are you? Thank you.
I've had better days, Assemblyman. But first off, tell me, what jurisdiction are you an Assemblyman of?
It'd be the 24th Legislative District up in all the way at the top of New Jersey, Sussex County. We represent 11 towns in Warren County and then Mount Olive and Morris.
All right. So explain to me in your own words how this all unfolded.
My wife and I, you know, we're big Hank fans, you know, Hank Williams Jr. It was also Lynyrd Skynyrd, and Aaron Williams was playing that night. Aaron Lewis, excuse me. And, you know, so we had tickets a long time in advance. We went up, did a little bit of tailgate, and we had some neighbors next to us. You know, it was pretty full parking lot. It was probably, I would guess, at least 20,000 people there. And, you know, so, you know, there was a picture of the Hank Williams flag, I guess you would call it. And, you know, so we had our picture, and, you know, we put it up, having a good time, jokingly, you know, humorously. Hope nobody's offended because we're at the Hank concert. And that was it. And pretty soon, the left, I guess, got a hold of it, and it went from there. So, and that's pretty much the story.
Right now, you posted it though on your personal Facebook page, right?
Yes, yep, personal one. That we're at the Hank concert. You know, it was the Hank flag. Obviously, the left got a hold of it, and you know, the Confederate flag and everything else goes along with it. I'm pretty much sure, I guess, and I'm sure you could, you know, would go along with it too. I don't think any of the Confederate troops ever took the Hank Williams flag into battle. So.
No, but if they could have, they would have, right?
I don't know what you said. You know, it's you know, country music, Southern rock, you know, a lot of the, you know, the stuff that we listen to. But, you know, everybody tries to make a big deal out of, you know, things that aren't there.
All right, so. But as an elected official, Assemblyman Parker Space, one who has to not only just deal with his colleagues and staff and others in Trenton and obviously in your home base and your constituents, you did get blowback. How did you deal with it?
It's exactly what I said. You know, we're at a Hank Williams Jr. concert with Lynyrd Skynyrd, you know, with 20,000 other people there. You know, we're having a good time. And, you know, there's a lot of concerts that, you know, I wouldn't go to, which I'm sure the opposition, you know, would more than love to go to. So, but that's, you know, this is what, you know, we listen to. We're country folks up here, you know, in Sussex County or the 24th District. And, you know, I didn't do anything offensively to hurt anybody, but, you know, everybody takes everything out of context.
Well, now, because it is the flavor of the moment, Assemblyman Parker Space, the whole idea of removing commemorations, plaques, memorials, statues, you see it's taking place at the University down in New Jersey, Stockton University, where they removed the bust of the man that the university was named after, one of our founding fathers who signed the Declaration of Independence. They made the decision to do so because he had been a slave owner at the time. How do you weigh into that whole situation? Because it's just swept the nation.
I think a lot of it was, you know, with the perception of the Confederate flag. Like I said, I was standing by behind the Hank Jr. flag, you know, which he's had many, you know, T-shirts and you know, banners and everything else that goes with it. I wouldn't call that I was standing behind the Confederate flag. But if you're talking about the Confederate flag, I think a lot of people, you know, want to remove history, you know, over the last, you know, 200 years. And I just question it, too, is ever since Trump got into office, you know, which obviously, you know, I voted for Trump. My wife was a Trump delegate. How about the 8 years with President Obama? You know, where was all the outcry then? So I think it's a movement from the left. But, you know, I'm like I said, you know, I'm just a good guy. I work every single day of my life. You know, my wife and I have our own business, you know, and I don't know why, you know, the repercussion is trying to come back at us.
Just, right. Now, we went
out and had a good time.
You before know? You were at the concert, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Hank Williams Jr., and you took that photo in front of the flag, Confederate flag, with Hank Williams Jr.'s face on it. You were tailgating, right?
Yeah, it was, you know, everybody went up, you know.
Yeah, so, I mean, the reason I ask is it's not a negative thing, but you were getting a little loose, right? You were bending your elbows, you and your wife, with everyone else, because I've tailgated before, and it's almost like if you don't, you're persona non grata.
No, I was pretty good. No, I'm good, you know, so what do you say?
So if you blew it into the breathalyzer, you'd have been okay to drive home?
Oh, absolutely.
But okay.
And just in case I made my wife drive home. But
good.
No, I was good.
That just wanted to find out, Assemblyman. Anyway, Assemblyman Parker Space, he will not back down. If you go to his Facebook page right now, you see the picture. Him and his wife in front of the Confederate flag as we play the song that our producer, Justin B. Love, grew up with in Alabama, If Heaven Ain't a Lot Like Dixie. Well, when you're from the North and you believe the Stars and Bars is the flag of treason, the Johnny Reb flag, it ain't heaven a lot like Dixie. It's hell that's a lot like Dixie.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
There's nobody that knows this scene better than Curtis Sliwa.
WABCRadio.com.
As we return to the Drive Home at 5, this is the theme from The Simpsons. And there's a particular character in The Simpsons that is now part of our local election process leading to a Democratic primary in what has become now the most watched and followed city council race in the city. And it is the depiction of one of the candidates as being close to who was that? Abe Simpson? Abraham Simpson? Grandpa Simpson. A little cut from The Simpsons. You've probably heard the crotchety contrarian before.
Ah! There it is! Death!
It's only Maggie.
Oh, yeah. You know, at my age, the mind starts playing tricks. So, death!
That's only the cat.
Oh. Death!
That's Maggie again, Grandpa.
Oh, where were we? Death!
And as a result, because this race is so contested, you have two folks in the ring. It's not quite McGregor-Mayweather. It's not going to have that kind of attention. But for politicos and those in the know, it is hotly contested. In one corner, the person who created this ad to malign her adversary. That is Elizabeth Crowley. She is the incumbent. It stakes up an area of Middle Village, Glendale, Maspeth, Woodhaven, Queens. She is also the cousin of the corrupt Democratic machine leader, Congressman Joe Crowley. So the deck is stacked in her advantage. But challenging her and giving her a run for every Democratic vote coming up in the Democratic primary, that's why you all have to come out and vote if you're a registered Democrat September 12th, is Bob Holden. Now, you have heard Bob here before because he was the leader, successful as he was in stopping the expansion of shelters by Comrade Bill de Blasio. You remember when he tried to shove one in that Holiday Inn Express in Maspeth and the community stopped him. Bob Holden was the leader of that effort. He's been in charge of the Juniper Park Civic Association, the most active I've ever seen in the nation, and he's a lifetime community activist. And he joins us on the line because that cute little campaign bit has turned ugly very quick. Thanks for joining us on the Drive Home at 5 again, Bob.
Hey, Curtis. Glad to be back.
Okay, so it was cute that she labeled you Angry Bob, but the ramifications of it are not that cute. Could you tell us what resulted from that?
Yeah, I mean, she took out of context a quote I gave to the New York Times in 2003 about these motor scooters these kids were running around on. They're illegal. They're over the neighborhoods with it. And the New York Times reporter calls me, and I said, you know, the cops can't get these kids. It's really almost like at a point where you just want to take it away yourself and help the cops so they don't kill themselves or bother everybody else. So that was a quote from 2003. What does Elizabeth Crowley do? Because of my age, I'm 65 and she's 39, she uses ageism and compares me to Grandpa Simpson, like you said, and says that I'm yelling at the clouds, I'm going to take away your kid's scooter, and then she quotes me on it. And, of course, I get some hate calls, and then I get a bomb threat. I get the flyer on Saturday, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm babysitting for my 3-year-old grandson, and some guy pulls into right into my driveway violently, jumps out, puts something in my mailbox, and speeds off. And, of course, it says on the top in a marker, take my kid's scooter and I'll blow up your car. And then it says, I don't care how many cops you know. But the genius crossed out his address that Crowley sent this to, the address, but he didn't cross it all out. So we know where he is. We know who he is. And the cops, detectives were here today. And this is a serious threat. And this is all because Crowley, her three mailers, she's labeling me Angry Bob and comparing me to a senile old man, which in itself is ridiculous, first of all, because I could out-debate her. I'm smarter, certainly, I think, a college professor for 40 years, and she's been in the city council for 9 and really hasn't done much. So what is she going to stand on?
Well, I must tell you this, Bob. Having Elizabeth Crowley as a city council person representing you and the residents like in Middle Village, Maspeth, Glendale, Woodhaven, that would make me angry, too, having her. Because she's so incompetent.
Yes, and that's why I'm angry. But they could label me anything they want. We're at a point where stand on your record and stop this negative campaigning because it's jeopardizing my family. And all I asked for her to do that. Let's talk about the issues, but no. Why would Curtis, ask yourself, why would a 9-year incumbent, she's been in 9 years, actually way too long, but why would a person like that, if they had a great record, have to attack an opponent who's never run for office before and has been volunteering in the neighborhood for 30 years? I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Well,
unless you have no record.
Again, right, no record, and the fact that because of her cousin, Congressman Joe Crowley, who runs the Democratic machine in Queens County, they have access to internal polling, which says that you are probably surging ahead because in the key areas of your district, you have name recognition for work you've done in the past. And it doesn't matter how much union support she has, how many foot soldiers who are dependent upon the county organization. She's probably scared stiff that you're going to whip her in this Democratic primary.
Yeah, and again, they lost a seat last year in the assembly. Marge Markey got beaten. They see the handwriting on the wall. So, again, the only thing they can do is malign, lie, and cheat. And that's what they do. The Queens Democratic machine is the most corrupt in the nation. And we need to really stand up. Everybody needs to stand up to them and say, we're going to take back our neighborhoods. And it's really these flyers that they're sending around, these mailers, nothing but lies and again, hateful messages that we're seeing. We want, after Charlottesville, we want to, stop this hate stuff going around. Let's stop and let's debate the issues instead of fighting.
Oh, yeah. And I notice she has chosen not to debate you one-on-one. But let me ask you this. if people want to help you, because they know you've been a fixture on this program before, you led the effort and you stopped the mayor dead in his tracks in terms of expanding shelters into no-tell motels and your Holiday Inn Express right there in Maspeth. How can they help your effort? How can they get in touch with you?
Well, holdenforcitycouncil.com. They could go on, they could contribute, or they could just email me and I'll talk to them about the issues in the neighborhoods all around the city if they're having issues. I've been helping people in my neighborhood, again, for 30 years. I know the communities. I know how to get things done, and I know how to solve problems. Again, Elizabeth Crowley does not know how to do that. And again, I will, you know, obviously I'll stand up in the city council to Comrade de Blasio, certainly.
No doubt. And Bob Holden, let me just say, I will be attending your fundraiser tomorrow. If you'd like to find out where that is, get in touch with Bob Holden, his campaign, because this is a war. This is a war against the corruptive Crowley machine, the most corrupt in the nation, more corrupt in Hudson County across the Hudson River or Crook County in Illinois. And although Bob Holden won't say this, I will tell you, having battled these kinds of corrupt Democratic machines before, I wouldn't doubt, and I'm saying this, nobody else, I wouldn't doubt that Elizabeth Crowley and her cousin, the Congressman Joe Crowley, told this Gavone, this bald-headed Gavone, go ahead, scare the living daylights out of him. Maybe he'll do a Ross Perot. Maybe he'll pull out of the election and spare us having to spend all these resources to fight back against his activist attack. Now, is that conceivable? If you know anything about the Crowley Irish Mafia and the way they run the corrupt Democratic machine in Queens, it is not only possible, I think it is probable.
Curtis Sliwa.
He's a man of the people.
Between the Scylla and Charybdis of commentary.
The Drive at 5, 77 WABC.
.552. As you know, I've been interviewing a lot of the mayoral candidates of late, including the Gavone yesterday, Bo Dietl, who said, that wasn't my voice, really, when he screamed out, Columbus is my leader. And I've interviewed Nicole Malliotakis, who said that Christopher Columbus the other day was the founder of America. Really, the founder of America. Huh. And actually, my candidate, Sal Albanese, who is in the Democratic primary against Comrade Bill de Blasio and is the Reform Party candidate, the party that I am the chairman of in New York State. He will be in the general election, as will Nicole, as will Bo. But I am obviously jaded. I have my own opinions. That's why the task fell to Bob Brown, our field reporter, busting his shoes as he interviews all three over the course of the next 3 days, tonight starting with Nicole Malliotakis, Assemblywoman, Republican conservative from Staten Island, Brooklyn.
It's a 77 WABC News special report. New York City's mayoral candidates.
36-year-old Nicole Malliotakis, the Staten Island Republican Assemblywoman, is running for mayor. So who's Nicole Malliotakis?
I was born in Manhattan, grew up in Staten Island, spent most of my summers in Sunset Park, Brooklyn. My family owned a small business. I'm the daughter of immigrants. My mother is from Cuba. She escaped the Castro regime in 1959. My father's from Greece, the birthplace of democracy. And they both came to New York to find a better life and achieve the American dream. And I, you know, it really shows you how amazing America is and New York City is, where in one generation their daughter is running to be mayor of the city of New York, the city in which they both came, not knowing the language, not having friends, not really having an education. I was the first in my family to graduate high school, graduate college, and also I have an MBA. But I've been serving now in the New York State Assembly for 7 years after having a career in both nonprofit, private sector, as well as the public sector.
So what would she do about fixing the subways?
I believe it's important, and I will work with the governor to ensure that we're properly funding the MTA. We're also looking for efficiencies within the MTA, but that we move forward towards improving the infrastructure, specifically changing the signal system to a communication-based signal system. Right now, our signals are pre-World War II condition. They are decades beyond their lifespan, and it's causing 70,000 delays a month. Cities like Paris, London, Copenhagen, Vancouver, San Francisco have all invested in such a computer communication-based system, and it helps more trains run per hour. It allows for service to be better without interruption, and in the long run saves money. So we should be looking at doing that.
On crime and crime in the subways?
You open up the newspaper and you see crimes taking place every day, particularly those crimes that are against women and children. We see sex crimes increasing in this city. In this, under this administration, felony sex crimes have increased 25%. On the subway system, there's been a 51% increase in sex crimes from 2014 to 2016. So we do need more police officers riding the subway.
Switching gears, I asked her what profession she would have chose if she didn't go into politics.
I would have been a journalist because in many ways I've used my position to expose bad things that are happening in government.
She actually did the news on Seton Hall's college radio station.
I was on WSOU. I did the news reporting there, and I did some freelance writing. I've interviewed people like Cyndi Lauper.
I asked Molly Atakis, what's the one thing you think people would be surprised to know about you?
I am a huge Cher fan. I think she's the greatest entertainer.
She's seen Cher perform 28 times. Bob Brown, WABC News.
Let me describe to all of you that was an excellent interview by Bob Brown. Apparently, Nicole Malliotakis had done her homework well. But when she was protesting the attempted removal of the Christopher Columbus statue, this is what she said.
I mean, that's the problem with this mayor. He's quick to send off a press release, and now you have even Christopher Columbus, the founder of our nation, is under attack.
And she since amended that, but Bo Dietl, what a gavone. Listen to what he had to say a day later.
Stop the nonsense. We're not removing Christopher Columbus. He's our leader.
You heard that, right? That's Bo. Everybody knows Bo. Yet yesterday he claimed that wasn't his voice.
Well, I'm going to be very honest with you. That wasn't my voice that said my leader. He's not my leader. He is the representative of the Italian American.
That wasn't his voice. Now, tell me, that wasn't Bo's voice? How the hell are you going to win an election, Bo, when you lie, when it's your voice? Everyone heard you at the rally, saw you at the rally, and then you come on with me the day after and you say, that's not my voice. That is political trick-nology of the worst type, Bo.